Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up all kinds of delicious whiskey, wine, and local craft beers. Swing by and visit them for this week for some great live music. Thursday, August 30th, Hal Pascal of Cherokee Moon, a good friend of the show. And Friday, August 31st, another friend of the show, Fine to Drive. And on Saturday, September 1st, Blue Plate Special. You can find all this information and more at nakedvine.net. And I will be out there again on September 11th with my singer-songwriter storytelling show featuring Emily Wallace, Kevin Babb, and Joshua Aker. So come on out to that show too. So keep an eye out for everything Naked Vine at nakedvine.net. Follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And again, come on out for a drink and stick around for the show. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Randy Vines.
And I'm Jeff Vines.
From STL Style on Cherokee Street. You can't spell style without STL. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today at STL Style with Jeff and Randy Vines. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much.
Shane, what's up?
Welcome to the
man.
Shop.
I'm very excited to be here today, hanging with you guys, and getting to know more about the shop, obviously, but getting to know more about you guys and everything you got going on. So thanks for having me over.
It's our pleasure.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
I guess you guys want to properly introduce yourselves for everybody?
Sure. So I'm Randy Vines and a co-creator of STL Style on Cherokee Street.
And I'm his twin brother, Jeff, 9 minutes older. We started this way back in 2001, strictly as a hobby, because we loved St. Louis when it seemed like few other people did, and we were always proud of it, to be from here, and it was our way of expressing our passion and love for this really great city.
Oh yeah. Yeah, man, I can't remember when I first started taking notice of what you guys were doing, but I mean, obviously, if you've been doing it since 01, I'm definitely was late to it. But I've been down here several times recently, bought a few shirts, bought a hat from you guys, and try to help support. And I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing. For me, it's just sometimes it gets kind of tricky being a larger individual to find everything, but you guys do said you would custom order some stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, we can custom order anything you want, whether we have it in stock or not. But it can be here almost always the next day.
Right.
So yeah, and you name it, we got it.
And right on the spot, you guys just do on the spot screen printing and.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of different facets to our business, but we're kind of known for our retail operation here on our storefront. Where we can, you pick any of our about 100 designs, all St. Louis related. You pick your size and color, and we will print it in about 2 minutes. Occasionally, we get backed up if we're really busy, so there could be a little bit longer wait when we're really busy. But That's what we're known for.
Our retail store is all the St. Louis shtick. You know, that's does kind of our outside sales for us. And that's what people kind of associate us with. But there's so much more to our business and like what we're about and mm-hmm. what we do every day and you know, how we pay the bills than just what you see on the walls in the store. We custom graphic design, screen printing, all kinds of promotional items, anything you could put a logo on. Basically, we do orders, you know, as small as 12 shirts all the way to 10,000 shirts, you know, or other items too, you know, custom sunglasses and backpacks and coffee mugs and water bottles and you name it. So we work with different events and organizations of all sizes, and that's kind of how our business has diversified and expanded over the years.
And, you know, while our physical storefront is on Cherokee Street, we also wholesale to about, 10 or so other retail shops all over the city and in the metro area. So, you know, we're everywhere, really.
Yeah, man.
Multi-layered.
Yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. I knew you guys had this, and I figured definitely a lot more, but I didn't realize how expansive it was.
Yeah, we definitely don't rely on walk-in traffic. Right.
Yeah. Although that's great. It's robust, and it keeps us very busy, but it's
the gravy, really, right. And it's necessary. We depend on the walk-ins, and it's been better than we ever imagined.
Right.
But it's definitely not our only mm-hmm. gig.
Not central to what we do. And we should say also, like, this store doubles as a venue space. Mm-hmm. So we hold all kinds of special events here. We had one yesterday, an awesome interactive music show that was here. And then, you know, everything from burlesque to bingo to improv to political forums and fundraisers, private events. So we're busy.
To drag classes are one of our, I don't want to call him an employee because he's so much more than that. Like, part of our team, Maxi Glamour, mm-hmm. is one of the most prolific drag performers in the Midwest, much less St. Louis. And we're very proud to have him here. You know, he's been with us for over 5 years, mm-hmm. and he hosts all kinds of events here, which it just adds another dimension to our shop.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a colorful place.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So where does that idea even come from? I mean, is this just, like you said, you guys are definitely fans of St. Louis, but I mean, you just felt like there was a need for something, you can do something different with this? And
yeah. I mean, I think Randy and I have always kind of run on instinct and
it's kind of raw unadulterated passion for
and spontaneity. I mean, we're not planners by nature. We like to kind of go with our hunch.
Yeah, and I think most good ideas come when there's a void in the marketplace. So when we really started this, it was not a serious endeavor at all. It was really just, we thought St. Louis was a great, cool city, but there weren't cool t-shirts that we wanted to wear that promoted the city, you know, and we were always so proud of St. Louis. We never for a second thought it was a lesser than city than any other place. We love to travel. We love the great cities of the world and the U.S. and we appreciate cities, but never did we ever come back to St. Louis and think we were coming back to a second rate city. We were, it even like bolstered our pride in the city, going other places and, you know, exposing ourselves to different cities and experiences. It just made us love our own hometown more. And so we thought it deserved some cool, you know, merch and apparel that kind of reflected it through our eyes, because it's such a funky city, a soulful, interesting, colorful, kind of unpredictable mm-hmm. city with so much local character and flavor that it deserved to be out there.
Yeah.
So we started making some for ourselves and realized really quickly that it wasn't just us who felt this way. There was a huge market for this stuff. And a city like St. Louis that really, it truly is such an amazing hometown. It's got that vibe. It's a major legacy city. So it's got a profound long, long history of being a great American city. But it didn't have a lot of transplants. So
right.
there's a fierce hometown pride that is fostered here. Mm-hmm. And people wanted a piece of it. And so we were there.
And at the time when we were doing this, when we were starting it up, I mean, there was literally no one else doing anything like it. We were definitely the first, like, St. Louis-oriented,
Herald. Which is kind of why...
brand.
Which is why we kind of never thought it would ever amount to anything more than just, like, oh, this is a fun thing to do after work.
Right. Yeah. Well, on top of that, we both worked full-time in different fields. You know, Randy managed a hotel downtown,
mm-hmm.
and I worked at a bowling shirt company, which was the best experience of my life because I learned everything I know about
the industry.
You know, printing and, t-shirts and all that stuff. And I got to travel a lot and meet people who I still have, you know, connections with today. And still order from today. So it, like, taught me everything I know, literally. So we came into this, like, from different fields, and we bring, mm-hmm. you know, different skills and experiences.
But it was just over time, because we weren't setting out to do this as a full-time gig at all. This was something we just looked forward to after hours, and with our friends, whatever. But it just so happened that the stars aligned and we were able to get this cheap storefront on Cherokee Street, which at that time was kind of no man's land. It was not on the radar of hot destination districts, you know, neighborhoods.
I will say, though, that it's part of why we love St. Louis, because when we were in high school, we would come to Cherokee Street on Fridays after school with our friends and buy bongs, and we have so many stories about going to Cherokee Street. I remember going to Nam Sam's, long gone, it's now Korea Western Wear.
Right.
I remember going to Nam Sam's, they had one part that was a head shop, one part that was a sex shop, and seeing life-size fists.
And
this was an old Walgreens, I believe. I think it was a Walgreens, so it was like, it's still set up like a Walgreens. So you walk into this store, and it was just like, not the suburbs, you know. Yeah. We grew up in Creve Coeur. It was like everything that our parents didn't really want us to go to or didn't want to know that we went to, you know.
Yeah.
And we were there, and like it was part, and it was just so not in keeping with what St. Louis's reputation as a family-friendly, wholesome place.
There was nothing wholesome about Cherokee Street back then.
It was like, this was our St. Louis, you know. That's what inspired us today.
I mean, yeah. We always thought that it was underrepresented. What was underrepresented here was like the urban edge. The thing that kept St. Louis like quintessentially, decidedly an urban city that had some swagger and like, you know, an underbelly of like unpredictability and just edginess.
It felt like a big city. I mean, it really did. We used to ride the Bi-State bus to Washington Avenue in the 90s, way before it was, you know, the loft district that we know today. I mean, it was like there were these wholesale garment shops and hustlers on the street selling gold chains out of their trench coats like in New York in the 70s. I mean, that's what St. Louis was. And we were exposed to that early on.
Yep.
And that influenced us so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we still are. We still love it just as much as we did then as the wide-eyed kids from Creve Coeur.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your story reminds me a lot of what I would like my, you know, diving into this, because like I'd already kind of, you know, had an idea of St. Louis music. And I knew there was a lot more out there, but like I had some friends that kind of introduced me to live original music, and that was kind of got the ball rolling. And then like of course like that introduced me to another band and another band and so on. And then I still like kind of gained this momentum of going. And but I knew there was like a lot here in St. Louis, and like I just kind of started diving headfirst into it and trying to document as much of it as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And but just like you guys, I mean, like you're just passionate for the city, and like I wanted to expose every more of the world to what we had something really great here and stuff. So
for sure,
absolutely.
And it's really important to know, like, cities of St. Louis's ilk, you know, these Rust Belt kind of legacy cities that maybe have experienced a really amazing high and then also the lows, and kind of know what it's like to taste success and prosperity. That's an amazing stature that most cities, you know, in America will never get, you know,
reach that level of prominence
and have that kind of wealth of culture and institutions and infrastructure and all the trappings that go with that. But also the experience of losing so much of it and still retaining, you know, it's amazing how much is left. But what it leaves is this kind of culture of makers and doers. You know, the city is built because it's a city of builders, you know, a city of people who kind of stake their claim and do their trade and try to build this place.
Because everyone else left already, right? I mean, we've bottomed out. Well, maybe we haven't bottomed out, but St. Louis, you know, the people who seek, like, consumer, you know, culture have gone off to other places.
There's plenty of places. And go take your pick.
All right.
If you need it spoon-fed to you, you know, handed to you on a platter, there's plenty of places to go. St. Louis is a place for the, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the people who don't want to put any effort into it. It's a place where if you do put effort into it, you will be rewarded. You really do feel your contributions matter here. And you'll find a community of other people who of all walks who are also making their, you know, go with this. It's not just St. Louis. We have a kinship with these other cities that we love so much, like Detroit and Cleveland and Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Mm-hmm. These weathered Philly. And these weathered old cities that kind of tell a story. And they have these certain elements in common. And it's like, you know, they're no longer the sexy cities they were at the turn of the century or, you know, 80 years ago. But they still foster this incredible.
You still know you're in a city that matters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the fact that our sister Stephanie has lived in Brooklyn, New York since, what, 1993 or 94?
Yeah, early 90s.
Has really informed our perspective a lot because, you know, New York, especially in the 90s, was really the barometer of an urban city, like what a city could be. And, you know, going there as our second home for 20 years or more, and, you know, coming back to St. Louis and kind of, you know, having that in mind.
That frame of reference.
When we're walking the streets of St. Louis and kind of seeing what St. Louis was and could be and is. It mm-hmm. still is, you know. I do want to make that point that, yes, we love St. Louis because of it has so much potential and because we know it has such a storied history. But we've always loved it for what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have people in here who come in our shop from all over the world, and they are blown away by St. Louis. They cannot believe how gorgeous it is, how beautiful it is.
They're like,
brick architecture.
This is the middle of the country, and it looks like this. This is incredible. Like,
the variety of what it offers in such a, you know, relatively compact area, and the accessibility. You know, like, yes, there are a lot bigger cities that maybe offer more. It's not like you're going to do a million things in one day, though. In St. Louis, you can experience high culture so easily and do a million things in a day.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's easy. It's probably too easy for its own good, but it's one of its charms, and we really are lucky. And
yeah, for sure.
Man, we can go on about this.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
You can't tell.
We didn't
mean to hijack it.
Oh, I love it, man. It's like I said, it's really great to see people that are like yourselves that are passionate about all mm-hmm. this, you know, so. I was wondering also, as far as, like, business owners and starting your your own business and things. Is there a certain maybe piece of advice that you could pass along that maybe something that really stood out that you learned early on? That
don't overplan, yeah. Don't overexpect. I think one of the pitfalls of small business or starting your own gig of any kind is that you feel like you this pressure to have it all figured out before you could start. That's just not realistic. At least it wasn't for us. And there are some people who I think they're wired to create a business plan and have a vision and plot out each and every, benchmark that along the way. We're not that way. It's not natural to us. We are much more impulsive for better or worse. And we always kind of followed our instincts and what felt good. And as long as we weren't hurting anybody and enjoying ourselves, we thought it was like the bee's knees, right? So I would say, it's a little hokey to hear it, to say it, but if you follow your passion, kind of, there are ways to make it work. It's not to say, be all naive and think that, just because I have a dream, it's going to come true. It's not, and it could take a very long time, but we feel like it's kind of a demonstration of, it's an extension of who we are as people, and if we're living our own ethos, then it's kind of a foolproof way to go, because there's no guarantee we're going to be, there's no guarantee you're going to survive and be here in the same, in the same capacity but you learn from every single experience, and don't be afraid to fuck up. I mean, if you don't fuck up, how do you know how to do better, and how do you know how to smooth over some of these mistakes you make?
And also, I would say, you have to be open to adapting and hustling, really. It's responding to demand. We started here with the intention of being a retail store. While that the demand is still great for that, it's not enough. I mean, we have kids now, and we have employees, and we have to do a lot of different things in order to keep the lights on and everything going. And we've gotten really good at it. And a lot of people will say, "Oh, it's so cool! You're your own bosses. You don't have to answer to anyone." But that's not true at all. Our customers are our bosses.
Right.
And in many ways, there's a lot more pressure on independent business owners, because unlike a day job where you could just clock out at the end of the day, we can never clock out. Everything that we put out there has our names attached to it, our reputation. And we know, especially in the social media world, one bad interaction can sink everything, So we're very conscious of that, and we make sure that our shop reflects
what we're about. And I think we've done a really good job of maintaining and sustaining this this unpretentious kind of vibe that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what makes us approachable and inviting and welcoming.
Sure.
That's a delicate balance to reconcile that with also bottom line.
Right.
Not everything we love doing and want to do is going to be profitable or necessarily cost effective, but there are certain sacrifices you make for the sake of being who you are. And that's one thing. That's one sacrifice we're not willing to make. We don't care. We don't mind making political statements.
Right.
On our social.
If we feel really strongly about it,
we don't want to make.
At the same time, we don't feel like we have to chime in on every little thing.
But we're not bashful about where we stand on things, and we understand that opens the door to criticism, or maybe some followers will fall off. But we know that the integrity of doing that also attracts people.
Right.
And it's just kind of what we're all about.
Definitely. I loved, talking some of how the business is a reflection of some of your personality. And I think a lot of that came through as I was just preparing for this, I was watching some stuff on the Facebook and the video, and you guys done a couple of different things, but the video for your 40th birthday party, where you're like, fun. I mean, just like,
tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I mean, just like, it was super goofy, but it, like, I felt like that was, you know, definitely, it shows that you guys have a sense of humor about all this stuff. It's all for fun, and that video was hilarious, by the way. But,
thanks.
It reminded me a lot, I mean, I don't know if that was the vibe you're going for, but it reminded me a lot of Becky on the carpet, so.
Well, you know, St. Louis has been a leader in low budget, late night, you know, like those lo-fi, kind of cheesy commercials, for all the way back to Steve Mizrani and the Slimen Brothers and what have you, you know, and Uncle Leonard's, you know, TV. We grew up watching that stuff, you know, and we always got a kick out of Schweigangel. Mm-hmm.
And Worldwide Magazine is kind of in that vein. Because, you know, Randy and I, another, we didn't even mention this.
Yeah, this is a major part of who we are and who would this business, where this business is based on.
When we were in high school, before we loved cities in St. Louis, we loved, you know, television and radio. And, like, we had the opportunity to produce a cable access show, a local origination TV show on Double Helix Television, which was like the cable television wing of KDHX, right? And so that studio was in the Central West End, on the north edge of the Central West End. So we, during high school, you know, we were going to the city every Saturday to have this live show. We had a camcorders glued to our hands. I mean, we were always filming stuff. We were always doing funny, cheesy skits with our friends. Mm-hmm. And then we actually had an outlet to, like, broadcast
this. It was actually an audience for the kind of crazy shit we were doing.
Right.
But that kind of set us apart from, like, the typical suburban upbringing, because, like, all of our peers, you know, were hanging out at Denny's or at West County Mall, and we were on Del Mar and Euclid, you know, like, and like going around the city and like talking to strangers on the street and filming things, and like that really just definitely solidified our appreciation for St. Louis City. And you know, when we went off to college, we were such promoters of the city, and
it's what we really missed. It was that
And that urban edge, you know, like, we would take our friends who were from Chicago or whatever to St. Louis, and they'd
be blown away.
They absolutely loved it because it was like unpretentious and real, and it was like right to the point, you know.
And it was a more urban experience than most of them had ever encountered, really, on a regular basis, you know, like on a close personal basis. And we were we had this kind of experience behind us, and
it was also the late 90s, you know, and that was a great era.
It was the last lo-fi era.
Yeah.
And we're like products of that, the tail end of the generation that remembers what life was like before cell phones and internet. And I think that kind of shaped who we are. And even to this day, it's I would say our number one challenge is kind of keeping up with the new kids, you know. And there are other people popping up and new businesses that are doing similar kind of things, or maybe aiming for similar market share of what we're doing with St. Louis stuff. And they're probably better at it on social media than we are.
More polished, at least.
Or at least more packaged, right? But who cares? Like, we are who we are. Like, and we think the authenticity and the approachability of what we're about kind of sets us apart. That's our brand.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we're on Charity Street. We're on a block where, you know, we want to make a point to bring people to a part of the city that they might not otherwise come to, and to discover what St. Louis really is. And here we've been here almost 9 years. It's the greatest thing ever. I mean, we live St. Louis and breathe St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like our dream come true.
Yeah.
Even though it's not always fun and cool, you know. Day to day can be challenging, but we would never think of doing anything else.
Sure. Is there any of those tapes still around from that?
Oh yeah. In fact, yeah, they're right over there.
It's actually the reason we can never run for office.
They're on. They're on Betamax. I hope you.
We had almost too much fun back in those days. Yeah. But
our original major in college was radio TV, but back then it was pre-digital. So once it got really technical and we started splicing tape together, we're like, okay, this isn't fun anymore.
We just don't have the technical, the technical gene. We have the creative and fun, and we love to, screw around with stuff. But we don't want to actually do the cutting.
The technical stuff. I think that's very evident in everything that we do, because we like to think of ideas we're experienced enough to know, like, we will enlist the help of people who are professionals, right, to help bring that to life.
Which is great advice to anyone that's listening who wants to maybe kind of, take their idea or their passion to the next level, delegate. You don't have to be good or know everything, but surround yourself with people who are better than you at certain things.
Oh, yeah.
And, becomes a more well-rounded.
Yeah, there's a lot of times I call on my friends posters or video or whatever. I mean, like, I've got enough friends that are way better at it than I am. So, I'll have them do what they do and stuff. Yeah.
That's also a hard thing to do. It takes a little bit of stepping outside your comfort zone to allow people, into your, you don't want to distort your vision.
Compromise. But we're, people have asked us, how do we find such a cool staff? Because we have a really great, diverse staff that come from all different walks of life. And
so loyal. They stick around, Even those who have gone, even those who used to be affiliated and are no longer, they're still close. They're still showing up at special events that we throw, and I don't know.
We'll give you an example. Will, who was the store manager here for six years, maybe, he got a teaching job at St. Louis Public Schools, and he came for our big farting party, that we were promoting, we were talking about. And we were so busy and overwhelmed, he actually jumped behind the counter, not having worked here in over a year, and started checking people out so we could enjoy ourselves. That's a testament to the kind of atmosphere that is here. And Adrian, who's from the mean streets of North Philly, who is, I don't know,
he's a workhorse, man.
He's amazing, and so much more than just an employee. I mean, he really, I don't know where we would be without him.
Our staff is incredible. Yeah. Shouts out to Susie Q and Aaron Maxi Glamour and
all the people who have really added a dimension to our shop that is part of the personality. And we really truly are like a family, and we fight like family.
But we all love each other a lot.
Yeah, they're the greatest. Yeah. And our designers too.
Yeah.
Jenna,
Katie, and Maddie, and Maddie.
Two Maddies. One's a guy and one's a girl.
We won't co-opt this piece to.
But we do appreciate and are so thankful for the people who we've surrounded ourselves with.
Definitely, man. I've been working for Broadway Oyster Bar, and it's a family business, and it's much different than any other job I've ever had. One, just being in the industry, but just the fact that you are working with the family, I feel a lot more appreciated being a part of that staff than I ever have in any other of my jobs.
Sure.
And it feels good, that knowing that you are a part of the team, part of the family, and people, appreciate what you do there. And hearing you guys saying that about your staff is it feels, I'm sure they're thrilled to be a part of the team too. So
I mean, and what you do at Broadway, you're part of people's memories. You know, like you're like this could have been like the coolest weekend of these patrons' lives. You know, and like you're part of making that very special. You know,
and just
Broadway
like
Oyster Bar is part of St. Louis.
Also, just by virtue of like doing the podcast,
yeah,
such a cool thing. Like this is where St. Louis is so fucking cool without even trying. It's just there are cool people just doing their thing. They're adding their little piece of this cultural tapestry, makes it a more interesting city, gives a voice to people and projects that are that everyone should know about. Yeah, it's just like becomes this thing. And these are things that are not as visible or as accessible in some of the hot cities that are just too cool for themselves.
Well, and also don't register on the, you know, the rankings list, right? You know, we always are, you know, number one in homicide and chlamydia and all the things that are bad, but it's like there's so many intangibles. There's so many things that can't be deduced to a ranking or statistics. And yeah, if you want to talk statistics, St. Louis is still a top 20 metro. It's a great city to have. It's big enough to have an audience for anything, and it's a great test market.
But it's not
it's
so saturated that you can't plug in and like make something happen here. You know, you can plug in pretty easily, relatively easily. If you got a cool idea, like fuck yeah, man, we're freewheeling enough to. Like, let's roll with it. Let's do this. Let's try it. And if you fail, which a lot of people do, you still could probably afford to have a roof over your head in most cases, you know?
And in the coolest fucking roof you'll ever live in, too. Because we don't take a backseat to anyone when it comes to, like, neighborhoods and architecture and character. And other cities are jealous, you know?
Yeah.
So
This episode is a lot of firsts for me because, like, this is definitely the first time I've had twins on the show. I've had my friend Al's a twin, but his brother wasn't on the show with him. But and it's also the first time somebody said chlamydia on the show. And so, and,
yes.
Yeah, so
it's spreading. It's spreading, right?
But my buddy, I think Steve Poggi had a joke about how we were like number one in violence and STDs and all this stuff, and he's like. He's like, we're the show me say, maybe we should stop showing everybody stuff, you know, like,
right.
Something like
yeah.
That.
Right,
so,
that's
right.
True.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
You know, we don't shy away from acknowledging the problems of St. Louis.
Right.
I mean, certainly there are some deep problems, serious problems, and
yeah, we don't want to gloss over the fundamental.
Well, I mean, we've lived here through it. We live here every day. We see.
Yeah, we know. I mean, we've had cars crash through the storefront, you know, through
twice,
the shop.
Twice in 8 months.
Twice, yeah.
You know,
it's not like we're Pollyannish about it, but at some point you realize that there is no perfect place, and that's a folly to expect such. There, you become a part of the community, our city, for reasons that are very personal, and you know that's your home, and you make the very best and try to do your best to make it a better place, whatever that is, and every role is important.
Yeah, man, very cool. Well, you can find all things STL Style at stl-style.com, and again, we're here at located at the corner of Cherokee and Compton. You can come down and visit anytime throughout the week for during store hours and stuff.
3159 Cherokee Street, open every day but Monday.
Yeah.
And we will probably talk to you about any subject relating to the city or other cities.
We'll offer
whatever.
You a beer and we'll stay a while.
It's much more than just a transactional retail shop.
Well, I mean, I can attest to that. And like I said, I've come in as a customer, but we've become friends, and now we're here hanging out and all this stuff. So it's like, it's really cool to how welcoming you guys are and all the things. So
likewise,
awesome. Thanks, Shane.
You feel the same.
Thank you. And we got Frankie, right?
Yeah, Frankie's sitting right here.
Special guest.
She took a seat right here to be part of it.
She's been a resident and landlady here since we opened the doors. So. She's a very intrinsic part of our experience here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that is only Frankie, or I felt like there was...
Yeah, it's Frankie, yeah. Sometimes we are a pet-friendly establishment, so, you know...
We've had ferrets, we've had guinea pigs. And
yeah, it's like, you know, bring whatever you got. If it's
as long as it doesn't eat Frankie, they're welcome.
Yeah. That's the only rule.
Yeah, I've got a few critters in my house. I have a bearded dragon and ball python.
Nice.
And and two dogs.
So reptiles, I guess.
Yeah, well, then both of them were just given to us. Like, people just didn't want to care for them anymore and asked if we would be interested. I'm like, all right, yeah. So they gave us the tank and everything else. All we had to do was feed them and take care of them and stuff. So,
what do they eat?
Well, the bearded dragon mostly eats, like, these like super worms, and I mean, he'll eat veggies and banana, and you know, I feed him all kinds of stuff. It's good to have a balanced diet.
Bring him by, man.
Yeah, right.
As long as he doesn't really
bring him by, we'll love to take a picture.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, we would love to give him a shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something.
So cool. We did dress up that guinea pig. Remember?
Yeah, we did dress up a guinea pig. Yeah. Anyway, bring it.
Yeah, and then the ball python, she eats mice. We usually give her frozen mice, thaw them out, but like she won't eat the live ones. I don't know what, I guess she just doesn't want to hunt them or
timid.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I try not to eat live mice.
Right, yeah.
So I understand.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I mean, yeah, all pets are welcome, and as long as they don't harm our existing one, we're cool with them.
That's cool.
Well, you guys, I kind of wondered. I mean, we talked a lot about your love of St. Louis and the shop here and stuff, but kind of want to get to know a little bit more about you guys individually and as personally and stuff. But you said growing up in Creve Coeur area and stuff. Born in. Born and raised here?
Well, actually, we were barn at barn.
Yeah, barn at barn. That's right.
Our birth certificate says County of Birth, St. Louis City,
which is a badge of honor.
How many cities can say that except Baltimore, right?
Yeah, Baltimore's.
We were not born in any county. It's awesome. We were born, and our dad is from St. Louis. We grew up in the fairgrounds.
On the north side,
by Fairgrounds Park. Our mom's from Chicago, Albany Park on the north side, and we grew up in the suburbs.
We grew up in Creve Coeur, and we had a great childhood. We're close with our family. We're close with our parents. Our sister's the coolest. We love her and look up to her. She's lived in New York for ages, and we have a tight group of friends that we're still friends with from high school that we all get together.
Our very best friends.
Our closest friends.
Kindergarten.
We both have kids. Jeff's married with two girls. I'm divorced with a little boy, and I'm great friends with his mom, or my ex-wife, and her new husband. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, we kind of pinch ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not that everything's perfect all the time, but we're overall, like, we kind of got it made, you know?
Yeah.
Who, I know, obviously, you guys, and we have the Sklar brothers, also pretty famous twins from St. Louis.
From Creve Coeur.
Graduated from Parkway North.
Twins from Creve Coeur, and their names are Jason and Randy, and we're Jeff and Randy. And we actually know them.
They graduated with our sister.
Okay.
So and they actually went to college at University of Michigan with our sister.
Oh, wow.
You know, they were there too. So we have kind of grown up like parallel lives to them.
They were ahead of we liked them a lot.
Yeah.
We
respect them.
They actually, a few years ago, they had a show at 2720 Cherokee, and we talk to them before the show.
Hung out with them.
Did you guys happen to catch them on Roast Battle the other night?
No, I know they're all over it, man.
We're so proud of them. Yeah. They're proud of St. Louis too, and like they're very St. Louis. They're great ambassadors for the city.
Yeah.
We feel a kinship with them.
Yeah, totally.
You know, probably more than they do with us because they're more famous. You know, but we have great respect. We hold them in high regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are there any other pretty famous twins around St. Louis?
I don't know. You know, Randy and I have always been very conscious about, like, being too cheesy and twinny, you know? Like, that's why we purposely, like, after we graduated, we wanted to do different things and establish our own identities, because growing up, we were always known as the Vines, right? Not because we always had to be together. It's just usually we had the same interests, you know, and we naturally, like, gravitated together because we thought alike. And
sure.
Never before have our differences become more apparent, though, like in the roles that we've taken on at the shop, you know. Mm-hmm. Randy is really more like the outside, you know, like the face of the more dominant...
Outgoing, maybe.
Yeah, outgoing. I'm more like vendor relations and internal stuff, you know, and I do the nuts and bolts in the background.
Basically, the shop closes when one of us dies.
Yeah, like, seriously.
Could not happen.
But we don't want to be too cheesy and make a shtick about being twins all the time. Because that's kind of obvious anyway. Like, anyone who meets us both, like, we'll see that we're twins, or they'll think it in their heads.
And thankfully, like, our parents were cool enough to never dress us alike.
Yeah.
Right. They weren't that cheesy.
But, you know, we grew up answering to both names. You know, like, when someone says, hey, Randy, like, turn around naturally, because I'm just used to that. And
thankfully, they didn't give you guys rhyming names either. I think that
was... Randy and Andy.
Yeah. You know what? That shit stops being cool at age 12.
Yeah. All right.
And
what was I just gonna say?
Well, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, we don't know of any other.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we know of any other twins that are, like, you know, out there? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we know a lot of twins.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I got a friend. He's got two sets of twins, and they're like a year apart. Four boys, like a year apart, and I'm like, man, that's crazy. Like, let alone to have one set of twins. But yeah, a year later, like...
A couple of years ago, there was a group of quadruplets that came in here. And that was fucking so weird.
Yeah.
That was mind-blowing. Like, and we're the worst at it. You would think we'd know, but we're like, there's no way we'd ever be able to tell any. I'm not good at telling twins apart.
When we were babies, we really looked alike, and little kids, and our parents painted Randy's toenails red to tell him apart from me. But
we're different, but we're also, like, kind of entwined.
Right.
And in some ways, it is kind of a disability, because we've never had to face new situations alone. We've always had someone else, it's almost like a crutch, you know? So we don't have those feelings of, you know, when you're, like, lying in bed at night and, like, thinking your deepest thoughts and feeling totally alone. Like, Randy and I have never felt that way. And I admit that, you know, I admit, because there's someone else that kind of is thinking the same thing.
You never had to enter a new experience alone.
Right.
And you never, like, if you were in trouble, you always got to share the burden with someone else, like, the consequences
I mean, it's a blessing and a curse, because relationships can be challenging. Ask my wife, you know, ask any girlfriend we've ever had, you know. It's hard, and it's hard for us too, you know, but, I don't know.
It
seems pretty natural that we've kind of, like, come full circle and doing our thing here, and we definitely have very autonomous lives now.
Yeah. We're 40 years old. Everyone always says, oh, we should interview you you're the young people. We want to get your perspective. We're not so young.
Yeah, and I have the receding hairline to prove it.
Yeah. But we're flattered when people say that.
Yeah. Very cool.
We just rambled on just now.
Hey, that's what these things are good for, man. Come on out to the shop. Check everything out. Come down and pick up a shirt. Is the St. fucking Louis one, is that still like the hottest?
Definitely it's our best seller.
Yeah.
That's our evergreen. but we have so much more. I mean, we sure. have, you know, socks and onesies and
undies
hats
and yeah.
Right.
You know, a lot of accessories, so.
But I love the, you know, obviously you guys know all the jokes and stuff, and like, so a lot of, you know, even the farty and all that stuff. I mean, all of it's represented up on the wall, so it's really fun to see, like, just the, you know, we're proud of our city, but we can also have a laugh about it too. So,
well, what fun is a city that can't make fun of itself?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, lighten up, you know. So there's definitely a lot of material to work with in St.
Yeah.
Yeah. For better or worse,
we're all very lucky to be St. Louisans.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all for taking some time out and hanging, man. This has been a lot of fun getting to officially meet you guys, getting to hang out and talk a little more and just a quick hey at the shop and stuff. But
anytime, man.
But yeah, thank you. And I will see you guys soon.
Thanks, Shane. Yeah. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Adios.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.